Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
As I'm sharing today, and so Father, I just thank you and I praise you for what you're going to do in the rest of this service, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you've got a Bible, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read a few verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It should also be up on the screen behind me. I'm going to read from verses 23 through to 24, just two verses. 1 Thessalonians 5. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Amen. So we're now in week 3 of our series, Grace Uncovered, Experiencing the Depths of God's Favor. And this journey is all about encountering, and grace is more than just a concept, more than an idea we talk about. It's God's divine force that's shaping every single part of our lives. And in week 1, we talked about saving grace, how grace initiates our salvation and brings us into the life that we were made for. It's the doorway through which we enter into God's family, saving grace. And then last week, week 2, we looked at, we explored justifying grace. And you remember we had the chief prosecutor, Mikey, up there condemning us all, telling us all the bad things we had done. But Jesus. We learned by the power of the cross, we were declared righteous before God, and we're no longer guilty, but we're accepted, covered, and made right through faith. But the question is, though, what happens next? So we're saved, we're justified. Is that the end of grace? Do we just wait for heaven? Absolutely not. Today, we're moving on to the next layer, sanctifying grace. And the title of today's message is this, sanctifying grace, becoming who God made you to be. See, this grace, the grace that doesn't just save or justify us, but transforms us from the inside out. It's not about where you started, it's all about who you're becoming. And so the question is, what is sanctifying grace? See, when we received grace, we are born again. That first moment we are born again, we step into that new life because of the finished work of Jesus. Saving grace is a doorway into the family of God, and when we receive that justifying grace, we're made right with God. The guilt of our past is wiped clean, our sins are forgiven, and we stand before God as righteous. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of the blood of Jesus that's applied to our lives. But when we talk about sanctifying grace, we are talking about something even deeper. With sanctifying grace, we are being made like God. It's a grace that doesn't simply forgive us, but it actually transforms us. It doesn't just change our legal standing, it reshapes our entire character. Sanctification is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit to shape us into the image of Jesus. And here's the beautiful truth. The grace that saves you is the same grace that then goes on and shapes you. This isn't about religious performance. God is not asking you to try harder, to tick more boxes, or to keep a perfect record of good or bad behavior. It's all about inner transformation. The Spirit of God is at work within you, bringing your desires, your thoughts, and your habits all into alignment with His will for your life. And that word sanctify means to set apart, to make holy, to purify. It appears throughout Scripture to describe the process of being cleansed, separated from our sin, and devoted to God's purpose for our lives. And let me tell you, this is not just a theological word that's reserved for pastors or Bible college students. And let me tell you, I'm a simple guy. I like simple words. So I would just simply say that sanctification is God working in you to make you more like Jesus every single day for the rest of your life. That's sanctification. God working in you to make you more like Jesus each and every single day for the rest of your life. This is a living reality for every single believer in Jesus. So let's go back to our anchor text together in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And I want you to notice how complete that prayer is. This is grace at work. It's not just on the surface, but it's through and through. God doesn't just want to change your behavior. He wants to transform your very nature. He doesn't want a shallow polish on the outside. He wants a deep cleansing on the inside. And from these two verses, we can quickly learn three vital truths about sanctifying grace. Firstly, we can see that it's God-initiated. It starts off by saying, may God himself. See, sanctification is not self-improvement. It's not a human project. It is God himself who begins this work. He doesn't subcontract it out to the cheapest bidder. The same God who created you, redeemed you, and called you is personally involved in shaping you. And that should fill us with both humility and hope. And then the second thing I see in those two verses is that it's holistic. It speaks about spirit, soul, and body. See, God doesn't just come and deal with just one part of us. He sanctifies spirit, soul, and body. The whole person is brought under his gracious hand. The way you think, the way you feel, the way you act, every single part of you is being renewed. Nothing is left untouched by his grace. And the third thing I see in these two verses is that it's assured. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He will do it. And that is a great confidence that we can carry. Sanctification is not only God's work, but it's also God's promise. He will finish what he started. He will not leave the job half done. The one who called you out of the darkness will see you through until you stand in that fullness of the light of Jesus. He will do it. He will do it. So sanctifying grace doesn't start the journey. It walks with you through every single step of the way. And the Bible, when we look at the Bible as a whole, the Bible presents two aspects of sanctification that helps us to grasp how God's grace worked in our lives. And both of them are essential. Both of them are a gift from God. And then the first thing we see is this, what's called as positional sanctification, because you're already set apart. See, the very moment you trust in Jesus, something incredible takes place. You are declared holy. You are set apart for God's purpose. And that is not because you've achieved perfection, but because of Jesus' righteousness was credited to your account. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you notice the words that's used there by Paul. It says, you were sanctified. It's a past tense. It's a finished act. You were sanctified. The moment that you became a follower of Jesus, you were marked as his own. You belong to him. You carry his name. You are clothed in his righteousness. This is your spiritual position. You're already set apart. You're already sanctified by grace. You don't need to earn it. You don't need to prove that you're worthy to receive it. It's a gift of grace received the moment you put your trust in Jesus. But then secondly, so we'll have positional sanctification, but secondly, we also see progressive sanctification. You are being made holy. We know from experience that while our position is secure, our practice day to day is still being transformed. We still wrestle with those old habits. We still wrestle with those wrong attitudes, with those selfish desires. Maybe it's just me, but I don't think so. See, this is where sanctifying grace continues to work in our life. Hebrews 10:14 puts it beautifully, I think. It says, for one, by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's you and me. Do you see the tension that we see there? On one hand, we're already made perfect for other, but on the other hand, we are still being made holy. This is the already and not yet of the Christian life. You're already clean, but you're still being cleaned. You're already set apart, but you're still being refined. You already belong to God, and yet you're still being molded to look more like him. And this process is sometimes slow. This process can feel frustrating. but it is certain God is at work in you. The fire of the Holy Spirit burns away the impurities. The word of God renews your mind. The fellowship of the church sharpens your faith. The trials of life refine your character. All of it is God's sanctifying grace at work. And that is the question. How does sanctifying grace work in our lives? See, when we talk about sanctifying grace, we're not just talking about behavior modification. We're not just talking about self-help. It's not about a program of willpower, sheer determination, or ticking off a list of religious rules. Let me tell you, behavior modification can make a person look better on the outside for a little while, but sanctifying grace goes much deeper than just behavior modification. Sanctifying grace is all about heart transformation. See, God is not interested in just simply tidying up the surface of your life so that you somehow look much more presentable to other people. His plan for you is far greater than that. He wants to reshape the very core of who you are. See, the desires of your heart, the patterns of your mind, the attitudes of your spirit, sanctifying grace is the ongoing work of God, making us more and more like Jesus every single day. And this is not something that we accomplish by striving harder. It is something that God accomplishes in us all by his grace. He does this through different channels or means of grace. So I want to quickly look at three primary ways that God works sanctification into our daily lives. And that is through his word, through his spirit, and through his people. So think about this. Firstly, the word of God, that is grace that reveals things in our life. Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Why? Because your word is truth. That's what Jesus prays. Sanctify them by truth, because your word is truth. See, the word of God, the Bible, that is central to our sanctification. Scripture is not just information for our heads. It's revelation for our hearts. See, when you open the Bible, you're not just reading another book. You are entering into the living voice of God. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That means the Bible is not just passive. It's not just a text you read. That means that the Bible is living. It's real. It's alive. It doesn't just sit on the page. It speaks to us. It convicts us. It encourages us. It reshapes us. Think of it this way. The Bible is not just instructions. The Bible is construction for your life. See, every time you open the Bible, God is building something in you. Sometimes he uses it like a scalpel, carefully cutting away the false ideas, the sinful desires, or the wrong attitudes that we've believed and lived by. Other times he uses it like seed, planting faith, planting hope and love that will grow and bear fruit in time. Still other times he uses it like a mirror, showing us who we truly are in Christ and calling us to live in that new identity. See, when you neglect the word, when you neglect the Bible, let me tell you, your soul is malnourished. But when you feed on it daily, your inner life is renewed. It's amazing. It's brilliant. So can I encourage you, build a daily habit of engaging with the Bible? Not just reading it quickly to tick the box and get another, I've read the Bible for 365 days. Like I've opened the app 365 times. Like, no, just kid yourself on. Like, get in there. Slow down. Meditate on what God is saying through his word. Ask questions like, what does this reveal about God to me? What does it reveal about me? That's a scary thought. What is this passage saying about me? What needs to change in my life as a result of this truth that's presented before me in God's word? Sanctifying grace flows through the word. Why? Because God's truth has the power to confront us, to comfort us, and to shape us into Jesus' likeness. And then secondly, the second way that God works that sanctification in our life is through the Spirit of God. That is grace that empowers us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is not only your comforter, he is also your sanctifier. He takes the truth of God's word and he then applies it to your life. Without the Holy Spirit, the Bible would just be another book. But with the Holy Spirit, it becomes a living revelation to your life. The Holy Spirit does several things in the work of sanctification. He convicts, he empowers, he guides, and he produces. He convicts us when we start to drift into sin or compromise. Always. Like, you've been there. Like, you need to keep your conscience sharp. Like, because you feel it when you know you've done something, as certainly I do every day. Like, I feel it, the Holy Spirit, just like, Stephen, why are you doing that? That's not right. Like, it convicts me when I drift into sin, when I drift into compromise, I just feel it. And that conviction is not condemnation, but it's a gracious reminder that God's way is the better way. He empowers us to resist temptation and live in holiness. Like, when I'm tempted, Holy Spirit, I need you. Like, I need you to come and help me in this moment because I want to respond one way, but I need you to come and help me because I'm going to respond the right way. When we could do what we could never ever do in our own strength, he makes it possible for us. He guides us in decisions, teaching us to walk in obedience step by step. Then he produces fruit in our lives, the 9 fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, from Galatians chapter 5. See, sanctification is not about just gritting your teeth and trying harder. Tomorrow will be better than today. It's about surrendering to the Holy Spirit who supplies the power to change. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't just point out the areas that you need to grow in. He also equips you to do that growing in your life. Imagine trying to sail across the sea in the boat without a sail. You might row furiously, but eventually your arms are going to get tired and you're going to stop rowing. That's human effort. But if you raise the sail, the wind will carry you forward. That's like the Holy Spirit's power working in your life. Sanctification is like raising your sail every single day to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit. Each day, invite the Holy Spirit to search your heart, lead your decisions, and fill your words and actions. If you don't know what to do, just pray a simple prayer every day along the lines of, Holy Spirit, I just surrender to you today. Shape me, empower me, and lead me today. Simple as that. That creates space for his sanctifying grace to start working in your life. You don't need any fancy prayers or just, Holy Spirit, I need you today. I can't do this on my own. Show me, lead me, guide me, direct me, show the things I'm doing wrong. Sanctifying grace then flows freely when he's welcome in your life. And then thirdly, the people of God works through the people of God. Why? Because it's a grace that sharpens us. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. See, sanctification is never just a solo project we do on our own. You cannot become like Jesus in isolation. We are saved into a family, the church, and God uses other people as chisels to shape us into his masterpiece. Friends will encourage us when we're weary. Mentors guide us with wisdom and experience. Challenging people, not that there's any challenging people in Found Church, but challenging people stretch our patience and test our love, revealing how much we still need to grow to be like Jesus. See, the local church is God's workshop for sanctification. In worship, our hearts are lifted. In fellowship, our character is tested and strengthened. In accountability, nobody likes that word, in accountability, we are held true to the truth of God's word. Like, are you actually really living up to what you're preaching? Think about Peter on his own. He was impulsive, he was outspoken, and he was often misguided. But in the company of Jesus and the other disciples, he was shaped into the leader that God intended him to become. The rough edges of his character were sanded down in community, and the same is true for us. God sharpens us through real relationships. He uses the encouragement of others to keep us going. He uses the correction of others to keep us humble. And he uses the love of others to keep us grounded. So can I encourage you to be planted in church? Don't drift on the edges or attend casually when it's convenient to you. Commit yourself to a community where your others can speak truth into your life and they can call out the best in you. Join a life group, serve on a team. Find spiritual friends who will walk with you. Sanctifying grace is God's ongoing work of transformation in our lives. And it happens through the Word of God, which reveals truth and builds us up. The Spirit of God, who empowers us to live holy and fruitful lives. The people of God, who sharpen us and shape us into community. And as we open up ourselves to these channels of grace, God will always faithfully transform us from the inside out. Let me tell you this, it will not happen overnight. Day by day, little by little, we are being conformed to the image of Jesus. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So that basically means that he will keep working in your life until the day that you meet Jesus in heaven or the day that Jesus comes back, whatever comes first. He will keep working in your life day by day. Sanctifying grace means that you are not finished yet, but you are not who you used to be either. Let me just demonstrate. Mikey, could you come and just stand here. Sam, could you just stand here? So, sorry to pick on Mikey, but Mikey was me, like, when I was 20, look how horrible he was last Sunday. So he was me, I've used this illustration before, but it's so true. He was me when I first got saved, all my faults and my failings and all that stuff that was there. I was a wee bit slimmer, but so. But he was me, all that stuff. And then Sam over here, look at Sam looking cool over there. Do you think Sam's one of the best dressed people in Found Church? So Sam's over here, and Sam is the guy. I want to be Sam. I'm thinking if I get to be like Sam, I'll be like that. I'll be an amazing Christian. He's the guy I want to be. I want to get here. But sometimes, though, I'm stuck here. And I'm looking, and I kind of get up there, and I'm getting, oh, Jesus, come on. I try to get a wee bit further and a wee bit further. Something happens. I do something, and I end up back here a wee bit. Closer to Mikey. Closer to who I was before. I feel that tension rise up inside me, something happens, and my natural reaction is I'm going to punch you straight in the face. But I'm not going to do that, obviously, but that's what I'm thinking. And then the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, saying, Stephen, that's not the way to deal with that situation. He's convicting me. I read the Bible, and it says, love your enemies. I'm getting all that stuff. John starts saying, Stephen, you can't do that, you can't do that. So all that stuff, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and community is all speaking to me. And I'm looking up here, and I'm thinking, ah. Oh. And then I can move a bit further along. But when I get discouraged, though, thinking this is taking forever, I can just look back. And I think, I'm glad I'm not that person anymore. I'm getting closer day by day. It's an ongoing process. Slowly, but sometimes I'll go a few steps backwards, but most times I'm moving a little bit closer and closer and closer. And God, we just read there that on the day of Christ Jesus, I'll be complete. I'll be like Sam, and I'll be, yes, I'll be finished. I'll be the person God created me to be, but it's a process day by day by day. Thank you, Jesus, that he never gives up. He's always working. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Mikey. But honestly, it's just a day by day process. Why? Because God's grace is at work in you. And he will carry you forward. You might slip back a few steps every now and again. Mikey, I promise next time I'll use it for something nice. You might step back a few times, but his grace will still work in you and still bring you forward. And so never be discouraged if progress feels slow. Keep engaging with the Word. Keep welcoming the Holy Spirit into your life. Keep walking in community. Trust that God's sanctifying grace is shaping you into the likeness of his Son. Let's get honest for a moment. Sanctification is not always easy. Let me tell you, it's not always exciting. And it doesn't always feel spiritual in the way that we might imagine. Often it's gritty, often it stretches us, and sometimes it's painful. But grace is always good. But let me tell you, it isn't always comfortable. The Bible describes sanctification in very practical, sometimes challenging ways. So what does sanctifying grace actually feel like when you live it out day by day? Well, the first thing I would say is it looks like discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 says, God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Sometimes sanctification can feel a little bit like discipline. And let's be honest, like discipline rarely feels enjoyable in the moment. Nobody wakes up praying in the morning, God, please discipline me today. Like if I say, everybody come forward here, I'll pray for you that God can discipline you today. Like who's coming? This one. But here's the thing though, God's correction and training are always rooted in his love. Discipline is proof in his commitment to us. It's not proof of his rejection of us, but it's proof of his commitment to us. Think of how a parent disciplines a child. See, a loving parent wouldn't allow their child to run out into danger unchecked. And that momentary pain of correction always spares them from greater harm. In the same way, God disciplines us not to punish us, but to train us. His goal is that we would share in his holiness. And grace will confront you when you're weary, but it will also confront you when you wander. And both of them are gifts. When you feel the sting of conviction, that is God's sanctifying grace at work, reshaping you into Jesus' likeness. Sometimes there's delay. Sometimes there's delay in that sanctification process. It can feel like delay. And God often uses waiting seasons to develop our character. See, we live in a culture of instant gratification, but God works on a very different timetable from ours. Think of Joseph in the Old Testament. God gave him dreams of leadership. Like he wasn't very wise in telling his brothers that, but he gave him these dreams of leadership. But those dreams were followed by years of betrayal, slavery, and imprisonment. And from the outside, it looked like delay. But from God's perspective, it was development. In the waiting, Joseph's character was being sanctified. His pride was being broken, his faith was being deepened, and his trust in God matured. Sanctifying grace teaches us patience, trust, and obedience in the unknown. Waiting seasons are never wasted seasons. See, just because you can't see growth doesn't mean that it isn't happening. Roots grow in hidden places before the fruit appears in visible places. If you feel delayed, like don't despise that season that you're in if you're feeling delayed. God might just be doing his deepest sanctifying work beneath the surface of your life. So it can look like discipline, or it could look like delay, or it could look like deep healing. Sometimes sanctification feels like deep healing in our life. See, God doesn't just skim over the surface of our lives. He gets right to the roots. Sometimes that means he digs right into wounds that we thought were long buried in our life. Perhaps you carry bitterness from the past, insecurity for childhood, or shame from past sin. Sanctifying grace never ever ignores these things, or it doesn't sweep them under the carpet. Instead, God lovingly uncovers them so that he can bring true healing into your life. Jesus said in John 15, verse 2, that the Father prunes the branches so that they will bear more fruit. Pruning is not pleasant for the plant, but it's essential for its growth. In the same way, God prunes away unhealthy attachments that we have, the destructive habits that we might have, the old wounds that we might have in our life. And let me tell you, it might hurt in that moment when he unveils them and he starts to get into them. But let me tell you, the result is greater fruitfulness in our life. So don't fear that pain of pruning. Instead, fear the fruitlessness of staying the same. Healing hurts, but wholeness, let me tell you, wholeness is worth it. Sanctifying grace digs so deep that you can walk free. So where's all this discipline, delay, and deep healing leading us? What is the ultimate goal of sanctification? And actually, just before we get to that, where's William? William, come up here, stand up here. Just stand up here. Sorry, you don't have to speak. It's fine. Just stand up here. So, William and I actually have something in common. Apart from the fact that we both love Jesus and we're both really handsome, I can't believe they laughed when I said you were handsome. But actually, William and I are both members of the same gym. Can you tell? Let me tell you, some people want to have a pastoral meeting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in Costa. William wants to have a pastoral meeting at 6 a.m. in Greensmith Gym. It's true. If you want a lesson in humility, go to the gym with William. Like, you go to the machine, and I pull the thing out and put it up to the top, and start doing exercises. He jumps on, pulls it out, and puts it right to the bottom. But let me tell you, though, we both go to the same gym. Look, he looks much more fitter than me and much stronger than me. So let me ask you, is it the gym's fault? Why not? We go to the same gym, we pay the same membership. Like, there's a difference between me and William, though. Like, he'll not eat stuff because he's in the gym and he's wanting to look his best. Whereas, I'll go to the gym because I've ate the stuff. Like, it's true. William getting to look like that is almost like a bit of like sanctification in his life. He's had to put effort in. He's had to have discipline. He's had to have that correction in his life. He's had to do all the things to look like how he looks. Like, I could blame the gym because actually the gym's given me everything I need to potentially look like William. But I'm not walking in that discipline that I can have it. Like, that's how sanctification works in our life. Like, God's there and God's made it available for you. But if you don't put it into practice and have the discipline and take the correction and take the stuff you need, then you look like me instead of William. But that's how it works. Like, you need to do the stuff. Like, you could easily say, oh, I came to church, but it didn't meet my needs. How many times have you had people saying that? I tried Jesus, but it was quite hard work. They wanted me to read my Bible. They wanted me to pray. Like, when I get busy, the gym's probably one of the first things that I would miss. William would make sure he's at the gym every single day, regardless of how busy he is, because it's important. True? True. He would be there every single day, but I would just miss it. Like, how many times? Oh, I'll just miss church on Sunday. It's fine. I'm really busy. Ah, life group. Oh, I can't believe it's life group this week. Oh, man. I've been busy on Tuesday. I've been busy on Thursday. I've just missed life group. Doesn't matter. It does. Like, all that stuff. It's God working, sanctification in your life. William, thank William because he's getting embarrassed up here, but that's how it works. Like, we go to the same gym. He does it better than me, but we go to the same gym. What is the ultimate goal of that sanctification, though? Scripture gives us the answer and makes it clear. In Romans 8, verse 29, it says there, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. See, the goal is not that you become more religious or more polished or more impressive in the eyes of other people. God is not interested in producing spiritual performers who look good outwardly but are unchanged inwardly. The goal of sanctification is that you look more like Jesus. Sanctification is not self-improvement, it's about Christ-likeness. When God looks at you, he doesn't see a project to be perfected. He sees a son or a daughter to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. That's what he sees when he looks at you. Sanctification is God's own ongoing work of shaping you, of chiseling you, and forming Jesus in you. His compassion becomes your compassion. His peace becomes your peace. His love becomes your love. His purity, his humility, his courage, these begin to shine through your life. This is more than just moral behavior. It is supernatural transformation that happens in your life. You were created in God's image. All of us created in God's image. But let me tell you, all of us were distorted by sin. And now you're being restored through grace. God is not trying to make a slightly improved version of you. He is trying to make a clearer picture of Jesus in you. That is why Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the essence of sanctification. Not just a better you, not just a better Stephen, but Jesus living through you. That is the goal. Think of that sculptor working with a block of marble. At first, all you see is the kind of rough, unshaped stone, but in the sculptor's mind, the image is already there. Every single strike of the chisel, it's not random, it's intentional. Slowly the excess is chipped away. What seemed like shapeless begins to reveal the form. What was hidden becomes visible. That is what sanctifying grace does in our lives. It chips away pride, it chips away selfishness, chips away fear, chips away sin, until what remains is the beauty of Jesus shining through you. Sanctification is not always comfortable. At times it feels like discipline, other times like delay, and often like deep healing in our life. But the goal is always worth it. Christ-likeness, to become more like Jesus. Step by step, day by day, God's grace is shaping you into the image of his Son. So when sanctifying grace feels hard, remember this. God is not finished with you yet. Not finished with you yet, but he is faithfully at work in you. Every single day, and I don't care what age you are. If you're not dead, God's not done. And I say that every time, and every time I say it, I'm just prompted. Lazarus was dead, and God still wasn't done. See, the picture that he's painting is nothing less than Jesus shining through your life. And if sanctifying grace is so powerful, why do we sometimes feel stuck in our own spiritual growth? Why do some Christians seem to plateau while others seem to go on and flourish and thrive? Well, the truth is, though, there are obstacles that can block the flow of grace in our life. So let's just quickly name a few. Self-reliance. So that's one of the greatest obstacles and barriers to sanctification, is the belief that we can just simply change ourselves by sheer willpower. What do? We try harder. I promise I'll go to the gym tomorrow. I promise. We set stricter rules, or we pile on guilt as motivation to get better. But sanctification doesn't come by willpower. Sanctification comes from surrender. Paul rebuked the Galatians for this very thing. He says in Galatians 3, after beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? See, the Christian life starts in the Spirit and it must continue in the Holy Spirit. You cannot finish in the flesh what God has begun in grace. Self-reliance always leads to burnout. Spiritual reliance always leads to breakthrough. You choose. Burnout, breakthrough. I'll do it myself. I can do it. I'll put stricter rules in. I can do it. Burnout. God, I need you. I'm relying on you working in and through me today. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. Or maybe it's shame. Shame whispers, you're too messed up to change. God is disappointed in you. Don't you even bother trying. Do you know what sanctifying grace answers straight back to that? You're already loved. You're already accepted. Let's grow from where you are. Let's grow from here. Shame drives us into hiding, a bit like Adam and Eve in the garden. But grace draws us out of the hiding into the light of God's healing presence in our life. Sanctification doesn't require perfection. It just requires honesty. When we confess, when we repent and yield, grace then starts flowing freely in our life. And then thirdly, stagnation. Settle in for spiritual mediocrity. See, we get comfortable where we are and we lose hunger for more. But sanctifying grace always calls us deeper. And let me tell you, the Christian life is not static. It should be dynamic. If you're not moving forward, you're drifting backwards. Stagnation is dangerous because it lulls us into thinking, this is enough. This is enough. What I'm experiencing right now in my life with Jesus is enough. That's dangerous thinking. He has so much more. I never want to stagnate. I always want more, more, more. Why? Because God has never ever done with us. His grace always has more to reveal, more to heal, and more to transform in our lives. Like, I want that fire in my bones to keep going. Like, come on, I want the Holy Spirit more and more and more. Like, tell you, the last few weeks, I've been listening to a podcast of a preacher from Australia, and he preaches loads on the Holy Spirit and baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's his main thing he preaches on all the time. And every time I've picked up Charlotte recently, I've been playing that podcast, And she got in the car the other day and she's like, Dad, you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. Like, I just want more and more and more. Like, I just want it more and more and more and more and more. So I don't want to be the same as I was yesterday. Let me tell you why this matters today in Scotland for us. So let me just speak a little bit prophetically to us as a church in Scotland. I believe that God is raising up sanctified people. Not religious people, but radiant people. Not bound by legalism, but alive with holiness. A holy church is a powerful church. Holiness is not dull. Holiness is not restrictive. Holiness is not unattractive. It's beautiful. It's magnetic. It's revival ready. Like we talk about the silent revival and happening in our nation. I want that to be a loud revival. Like, I want to get rid of that word silent. Like, we shouldn't be silent. Shouldn't be silent. The future of revival in this land doesn't rest only on anointed preaching or powerful worship gatherings. It rests on people who are transformed by grace. When the church looks like Jesus, the world cannot help but take notice. We don't just need moments of encounter. I love moments of encounter, but we need transformation to follow from that moment of encounter. Sanctifying grace is the movement of heaven in your soul. It is God's revival beginning in the heart before it ever reaches the streets. If we long to see that awakening in Scotland, that awakening in Larbert, Dan said earlier, the majority of people in Larbert could not give two hoots about the name of Jesus. I believe if you want to see that awakening happening in the streets in Larbert, it must begin with a sanctified church. The band can come. So how do we respond to sanctifying grace in our life? I believe this is not just a message to admire. It's a call to respond. Sanctifying grace is available for every single person, but we need to cooperate with it. So the question is, how do we then respond to that? I would simply say, surrender again. Yield your life afresh to the Holy Spirit. Open the doors of your heart that you've kept locked. Say, Holy Spirit, I give you access to every single part of me. Sanctification requires ongoing surrender in our lives. I would say that we need to stay close to the Word. Truth transforms. Can I encourage you, like, don't wait until next Sunday to encounter God's Word. Meet Him daily in Scripture. Don't wait until next Sunday to come and encounter. I can't wait to go to church this Sunday because I'm going to encounter Jesus there. Yes, have that faith to believe it when you come into church with people. You will encounter Jesus when you're here. But you can encounter Jesus tomorrow. You can encounter Jesus in your home, on the bus. Talk to your colleagues. You can encounter Jesus there. Can I encourage you to allow the Word to confront you, allow it to comfort you, allow it to correct you? Every day in the Word, every day reading the Bible is a day where sanctifying grace has room to work in your life. And can I encourage you to trust the process? Philippians 1:6 says, He who began a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You might not be where you want to be yet, like you might still be here, but you're not there. You're still working. He's still moving. He's still taking you there. Trust the process. Don't give up on yourself. Why? Because God hasn't given up on you. So how do we start? How do we get this sanctifying grace to work and move in our lives? Well, let me tell you, if you have never ever given your life to Jesus, that's the first step. You have to trust in Jesus. You have to trust in that saving grace of Jesus. And that's simple. You don't have to polish yourself up. You don't have to do anything to make yourself more attractive to Jesus. He loves you just the way you are. And He wants to start there. And He wants to work in and through you. And with every single head bowed, every eye closed in this room, if you've never ever given your life to Jesus, if you've never done that, then you will definitely not be on that sanctification process of God working in and through you to make you more like Jesus. That is the starting point. Salvation is never ever the end point. It's just a starting point of God wanting to work in and through you. If you've never ever given your life to Jesus, I just want to pray for you this morning that you will encounter him in this moment, that you'll realize that he loves you, that he sent his son to die for you, as we heard earlier, so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be free, so you could start to live the life that he has for you. And if that's you this morning, you've never ever given your life to Jesus, you've never trusted him in your life, Christ, encourage you where you are just to pop your hand up. I'll pray. I'll see your hand. I'll pray for you. And we'll be believing and trusting that God wants to start that sanctification journey in your life. Let me just pray over us as a church. Let me remind you this morning that who you're becoming matters. You're not who you were, and you're not yet who you will be. But by sanctifying grace working in your life, you are becoming who God made you to be. Every single person in this room, you watching online, hear these words today. Let me remind you that you are a new creation. You are a vessel being purified for God's glory. You are a light being refined to shine brighter in a dark world. Every single person in this room, every single person watching online, none of us are excluded from that. So can I encourage you, don't resist the chisel. Don't run from the fire. Don't fear the process of God working in your life. Why? Because the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Sanctification might be slow at times. It might be stretching, and sometimes it can be painful. But let me always remind you, church, that it's always glorious. Jesus has been formed in you. And my prayer is that when the world looks at us from Found Church, from all of us from Found Church, the world will see more than just a religious person. The world will see Jesus through us. That's my prayer for us in Found Church today. That the world will see more than a religious person. The world will see Jesus shining through us, through our actions, through our words, through our deeds, through our very way we live our lives. It's a scary and sobering thought, but you might be the only Bible that people will ever read. How are you matching up? How's God working in your life? And as the band leaders in this song, I would just love the opportunity to pray for people today. Because maybe you know you've given your life to Jesus, but you're still stuck. Stuck in the person who you were when you first gave your life to Jesus. Things are pulling you back. The guilt, the shame, the fear, the lies of the enemy, the sins that you're committing, the things that you're doing that you know you shouldn't be doing. And I believe that God wants you to break through from that today. Like there'll be breakthrough today when we submit to Jesus and his way in our life. There's breakthrough. And I believe that will come today. But I require you to do something. As the band leaders in this song, I just want to encourage, if you would love us to pray for you today. For any of these things, you know you're not living right. You know that you're held back by fear or whatever it is. The enemy's whispering lies and you want to break free from that. I want to pray that over you. I want to pray that the fire of God will come upon you today. And that you will be changed from the inside out. You can break free from those shackles, those fears, those hurts, those regrets, whatever it is. Today's the day that it can be gone. And you can walk in that sanctification process, becoming more like Jesus each and every single day. And so as Kirsty and the band leaders, just come. Like, it's open. Just come and let us pray for you today. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't worry about the person next to you, what they're thinking. If they're trying to second guess what it is you're asking for prayer for, who cares? Like, I couldn't care two hoots. I want to meet with Jesus. So just come and let us pray over you. Let us experience that breakthrough today in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.